Real Business Owners.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast. This is episode 49 with myself, Trevor Cowley, and Kel Goodman. No nicknames today.
I'm just an average Joe today.
Yeah, you got a regular government name. Guys, this episode is brought to you by Easier Accounting, per usual. Guys, if you need anything in regards to bookkeeping, tax prep, payroll, if you have simple questions in regards to entity formations or whatever it is, just make sure you send us a direct message and we'll get you taken care of. This episode is going to be about life-altering moments, right? We all have moments within inside of our life where we get so sick of the way something is, whether it's our financial situation, whether it's our physique, right? You've got to get to that point where you're so fed up with whatever it is that you're dealing with that you want to make a change,
right?
And so I've had a couple of examples in my life where, you know, there was a decision made because I was at a very, very low point and I decided to make an adjustment. And I think everybody gets presented the opportunity to have these life-altering moments happen because everybody hits low points, right? It's just whether or not you actually do it. That's the separator, right? Because one thing that everybody deals with is struggle and low points. Everybody will hit highs. Everyone will hit lows. That's just this little thing called life, right? Whether you're talking about business or life in general, it doesn't matter. We're all going to hit highs and lows, and how you handle those lows and deal with those lows will determine how your life ultimately ends up. It's not how you deal with the highs. Everybody can, you know, ride high when everything's going good and make all the right choices, but it's about making the right choices when you're at a very low spot in your life. And the reason why I thought this was kind of fitting, a fitting subject, is because of everything that we're obviously going through. There's probably a lot of people hitting a low point. A lot of people doing some self-reflection. A lot of people wondering if the path that they were on prior to everything happening with the COVID-19 virus scare thing, if that was their calling or if that's what they should be doing, is that what they're going to go back to? You know, once everything that is lifted and normal life happens again, right?
Right.
And so, you know, basically, you know, I wanted to utilize this episode to kind of share stories of life-altering moments, right?
What's your story? What's your first one you got on mind?
So yesterday, I just thought of two different stories. One when I was a little bit younger.
I'm thinking of some right now because we didn't talk about what we're going to talk about.
No.
And so I'm like, oh, okay, I got a couple. But I want to hear
It's a good subject. It's a good topic because sometimes it takes a low to change the trajectory of your life, right? And what you're ultimately going to do and how you handle the situation, right? But I would say, you know, one moment in seventh grade, so it was my first day of middle school, right? So I walk into the middle school stoked as shit. I'm a big kid now, you know. I've got my classes and, you know, I need to find, you know, my locker. And the excitement of walking into the first day of middle school, right? And so I walk in, open the doors, and I'm just kind of looking side to side, taking it all in. Everybody's scurrying, right? The excitement of the first day. Everyone's got their new shoes and shit. How everyone lays out their shit the night before. And literally within the first minute, a ninth grader walks up to me and says, "Hey, kid, the elementary school's up there." And I was like, oh, shit, here we go. This is middle school. And so at that moment, I was really taken back by that, you know, because I was excited and happy to be in middle school. And obviously I was a small dude. And so literally in that moment, I knew that I was going to start lifting weights. I was going to start exercising because I knew that this was now a different environment that I had to be prepared to potentially protect myself. I didn't know what else was going to happen. That happened within the first minute of me walking into middle school. So my thoughts were, okay, if this is what it's going to be like, I need to beef up. I need to be prepared to protect myself if some shit's going to go down, right? And so I remember from that moment on, I made sure I went and switched a class and ended up getting a weight training class. And every single summer, I was at the middle school lifting weights because they made that available to anybody in middle school. You could pay like a $50 fee and, you know, it was open from like 9 to 12 every single day in the summer or whatever it was, right? Yeah. And so I would say because of that moment, that's probably the moment that I started taking exercising or lifting weights very seriously, because I felt like that if I remained just a pipsqueak, then I would probably end up getting pushed around quite a bit through middle school or high school or whatever it was. And so with inside of that moment, I decided to take on weightlifting and take it serious. And now that's kind of become a part of who I am, right? Yeah. I like to exercise and all that. So in that low moment, it changed my thought process and made me take something else very seriously, which ultimately has served me very, very well over the over many years, right?
Yeah.
Exercising and lifting weights have been a large part of my life, besides a little drug stint that I went through there for a minute, which I'll talk about again as another life-altering moment here in a minute. But share
a little 4 or 5 year stint, you know?
Yeah. I guess I could say that's a negative life-altering moment, but took me down and I was at a low place and ended up coming back out of it. But share maybe a life-altering moment with us in terms of like where you had a realization that something had to change.
If we're going to go back to grade school for a minute, like, you know, I mean, I could probably think of some sooner too, but
yeah.
I mean, it's got to be when I found out that Callie was pregnant with Caden, my oldest son. I mean, it's got to be, dude.
I mean,
it's probably one of the biggest life-altering moments because, dude, you know, and I want to be respectful to her because, you know, my son listens to our podcast and she even listens to it too. So it's not that she's a bad person or anything. Yeah. I did not want to be with her. Okay.
Yeah.
But my whole life, a few of the good things that my dad always did say and teach me was like, I guess they're man up moments for me, right? Because my dad was always like, you know, hey, if you're going to do something, do it right. You know what I mean? If you're going to, you know, create a situation, you better be responsible for it, right? And those are some of the things that he did kind of raise and instill in us when we were young. And so, you know, I tried a lot of things, man. Like I was like, well, you know, we broke up. And you were hanging out with other dudes. That ain't my kid, you know? Like, you know, I'm just a scared 17-year-old kid, man. Yeah. Like, I'm not ready to have a kid, you know what I mean? But as it got closer and closer and, you know, I was just started thinking, man, what am I doing? What am I doing with my life, man? Like, I went snowboarding one day. I broke my fucking arm.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, right before this kid's coming, I break my arm. I had just gotten a job so that I could start saving money for when the kid came, you know? And so... dude, like I'm literally with a broken arm down at Smith's grocery store pushing carts with one fucking arm because I couldn't not take the job.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, damn, why did I go snowboarding, right? But dude, when he was born and it was all like confirmed, like this is my son, like I'm like, oh my gosh, man, I've got to get to work, right?
Yeah.
And I can't push carts the rest of my life, you know. So dude, I went through so many things like joining the military, which I didn't end up going, but I went through all the hoops of getting sworn in, going up, taking the test, doing all this shit, but I ended up never going to boot camp. Luckily, I found sales before that. But dude, it really pushed me to just like find an opportunity or find something that I could work my ass off and really provide for, right? Provide for this family. And so that was really a life-altering moment for me, man, was like, just, man, holding that kid in my arms and only being 17, 18 years, as 18 by the time I had him, but just being this kid myself and holding this child, like, oh my gosh, I've got to change. Cause I was a shithead, man.
Yeah.
You know, I was snowboarding, sloughing school, didn't graduate high school, you know. I wasn't really smoking weed and shit cause I did that in like ninth grade. I didn't like it.
That was back,
I ran around with that hooligans that did weed and stuff for a little while too. But man, just holding him in my arms, man, that was a real life altering moment. I was like, okay, this is a man up moment. Like I'm working the rest of my damn life and I've got a family now, you know? And so, you know, and we've talked a little bit about that in previous episodes, but that, if we're going to talk about life altering moments, that was probably one of my biggest, man. Like I had to now take on a mindset of not just providing, but like, always trying to be an example to them as well. Like you can do anything.
Yeah.
Like you can work, you can get yourself out of any situation. You can turn every negative situation to a positive one. Like being a good example is just a huge thing for me and my family. And so that was like kind of a moment of realizing that.
Well, you could have took that moment and just kind of folded your cards, right? And said, shit, well, I'm not going to amount to anything. I'm just going to go get a regular, you know, job. I'm going to keep pushing carts and work my way up to cashier and do this or whatever. I'm not saying that anything's bad about that, but at the end of the day.
Or I could have just given up for adoption.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like
there's plenty
we had family members that begged us to do that.
Yeah.
We even had family members who were like, we'll adopt him. That, yeah. Like, were, so that you were can, my ex-wife's family members. And like, dude, we thought about it. You know what I mean? It's like, maybe that's what's best for the kid.
Yeah.
But in the moment, I was like, man, that's, I guess, really the turning moment of holding him in my arms. And just like, I can do this.
Yeah.
I am capable.
Yeah.
I can come up with excuses all day long of why I could give him up for adoption, of why,
well, there
you know,
was a million,
I want to go to college, or I want to go do this, or
and nobody would have blamed you for it either.
I'm not going to be a good dad anyway. I'm too young. I could have done all that shit.
Nobody would have said that you're an asshole for doing it at 17, 18 years old. They would have said, oh, yeah, at least you are trying to do what's right for the kid. You know, it would have been wrapped in a pretty bow for you to be able to do something like that. And not have anybody come and be harsh on you, right?
And no, you know what? No disrespect to people that have given kids up for adoption or whatever. Maybe that is what's was really best for them and for that kid. But for me, it was like, you know what? I know I can do this. I'm just gonna man up right now.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna man up. I'm gonna work every day. I'm gonna work my ass off. I'm gonna level up as a human and do the best job. I just felt so much love, dude. I just felt so much love. If you had a kid and I didn't feel that love, maybe I should have given up for adoption. Yeah. But I felt so much love and like just inspiration and motivation and everything that you feel like in those moments for this kid. And I was like, I just got to go, you know?
Yeah.
So that was a really big turning moment for me, dude. One of them. So nothing to really do with business, but I have a business one I can get to next.
Yeah. No, I mean, at the end of the day, it's not, I mean, let's be real. That moment right there where you accepted that responsibility ultimately helped you make different decisions, which led you into a different job that then provided enough income for you to ultimately eventually start a business.
Yeah.
Right. So you can kind of start connecting the dots and putting things together. Right.
Yeah.
Because if you would have gave Caden up for adoption, you maybe wouldn't have that same motivation to say, man, I need to get it into gear, because you were still only needing to worry about yourself. You could still push carts. You could still, you know, you and then maybe you wouldn't have found sales, which maybe you wouldn't have found that higher income. And then it ended up being, who knows? Right. And so, you know, definitely probably a very much life altering moment. You know, now Caden, if he listens to this, he's going to want more money from you now that
he
you're successful. Now that you're successful, he's like, hey, it's because
hey,
of
you
me.
You owe me, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But you know what, dude? Every kid I've had has fueled it even more, bro.
Yeah.
Because you know what, man? I got, dude, when I think about what my why is, my purpose is, like, it always comes back to the family, man. I'm a fucking family man, dude.
Yeah.
I just am. And that at the end of the day, man, like, you know, I just know that that's who I am. But, you know, having Caden, my first, you know, and being, you know, youngster and having all those options and where I could have just, you know,
walked away
the other way
or whatever.
Yeah. You know, I just, dude, that was a really big turning point, and it has led to a lot of things.
Yeah.
So, and it has led to a lot of the successes, I think, too, because it's what fuels me.
That's the thing is when you say, well, it's not really business related, I think it's more business related than what people even realize, because every decision that you make will ultimately, it's the ripple effect, right? Mm-hmm. It will affect you in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, or whatever it is, right? So just because maybe if somebody's listening to this and they make a little life-altering choice, that doesn't mean life-altering where you've got to try to go be an entrepreneur immediately, but maybe they do switch gears and go into a different job that's a little bit higher paying that ultimately helps them save money to so that they can invest or start a business or whatever, right? And so it doesn't have to be direct from, you know, I'm a waiter or waitress to now an entrepreneur.
Right.
You know, maybe you go from a waiter to waitress to wanting to go into sales and do something a little bit different that can make more money. And again, she still changed the trajectory of your life, so to speak, right?
Absolutely.
And so I think it is very relatable for anybody that's listening, because there's a lot of self-evaluating going on right now in the world, and it, as it should be, right?
Mm-hmm.
When there's downtime, you should be evaluating. You shouldn't just be sitting idle waiting for things to go back to normal, because the majority of people's normals is living paycheck to paycheck, and you don't want to go back to that if that was your normal, right?
Totally. Dude, I actually saw a post today in one of the groups that we're a part of a guy's like, well, it's official. I got laid off. He was in the oil industry.
Yeah.
But he had some skills and some side things that he did to make money, and it's kind of forced him to go all in.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, holy shit, dude. Like, you know, I think people should have kind of like almost everybody should have skill sets on top of their jobs mm-hmm. as side hustles, because that's just more protection for you yeah. when shit like this happens. Now it's like, at least I have something I can go all in on that's yeah. for me, yeah. right? That is for my own business or my yeah. own opportunity.
Yeah.
So, I think side hustles are huge, bro. And in times like this, I feel like the people that have had side hustles, they're going to go through some damn struggles right yeah. now, getting laid off and all yeah. that. But at least they have something they can go all in on. Rather than just sit at home and
yeah, then and do nothing.
Wait for the economy to come back. Yeah. Which who knows when that could be?
Yeah, exactly. The problem is waiting. You're letting external forces control or dictate how your life is ultimately going to end up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in the waiting mode, you're waiting for something else to happen for you to progress.
Yeah,
it doesn't happen like that.
It doesn't, man.
You know, you have to be the individual that progresses yourself, no matter the circumstance that's around you, right?
You have to. Yeah.
And so, I mean, even just yesterday, I was DMing back and forth with a professional rugby player, basically saying, hey, I can't play rugby forever, you know, and I've been listening to you guys, love your guys' stuff. You know, I'm thinking about doing this and starting to do an e-com business and do some drop shipping stuff or whatever. And he's like, do you think I should do it? And I said, just depends on whether you think that. You know, you have the time, the money, the patience to build something like that, because it's going to take time just with anything else. That's yeah. any business in general.
Yeah.
So it's not specifically to that type of industry or business. But yeah, it'll probably take 3 to 5 years to build something that could be special and really ultimately serve you for many, many years to come.
Yeah.
You know, and he's just trying to figure out if that's something that he wants to do. And I said, dabble in it. I said, right now, you should be toying with a couple different things, dabbling in a few different things and kind of see what lights your fire. And if it's something that you get excited about and you like it and you're getting some traction,
yeah.
then double down on it, you know, after your rugby career is over or whatever it is, right? So even an individual like that that can't be out there playing professional sports is already thinking about the next potential move because sports was taken away from them
yeah.
for a moment. So then it makes you start thinking differently, like, shit, this could be taken away from me. An injury, it could be taken away from you,
mm-hmm.
right? And you know you can't do that forever. You're not going to be a 60-year-old rugby player.
Yeah.
It'd be impressive, but I don't think it's going to, you know, unless they
get someone might do it one
yeah,
day.
Yeah, somebody might. Tom Brady's like freaking 80 and he's still playing. God, he's found the fountain of youth. But anyways, so the next story that I want to come to is again, when I was 19 years old, you know, surrounded myself with the wrong people. I started using, you know, painkillers, ended up escalating to the point where I was a full-blown heroin addict, you know, using on a day-to-day basis. When I was 23 years old, just basically a bum at that point, right? No car, you know, at 23, cell phone. Not everybody had cell phones yet, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Half the homies had cell phones, right? The other ones you were calling on the house line, you know, hey, it's Kel there, you know, or whatever, right? As the parents pick up the phone or whatever. What's sad is
tell your sister, get off the other line. Yeah, you're yeah. on the phone.
Yeah. What's sad is you got the homies, you know, 22, 23, calling the house line asking your mom, like, yeah. hey, is Trevor around? It's like, that's still so embarrassing. And they got a phone, you know.
Yeah.
You ain't going to try to hand out your number to no babes calling the house line. So like, give me your number. I'll call you. I'm broke. So I was a flat-out loser. Like, yeah. that's just the truth, right? Like, there's no reason to sugarcoat it. It is what it is. And so it got to the point where, you know, my parents were pretty fed up, and I got kicked out,
mm-hmm.
right? They caught me basically doing a deal on the side of the house, right? And they said, get out of here. Like, our house, that's not what our house is, right?
Yeah.
And so,
respect.
Yeah, yeah, dude, I don't blame them. You
yeah,
know, they should have exactly. done it years earlier.
Heck yeah.
If anything, I blame them for not doing that, right? But anyways, so I got kicked out. I'm literally walking up the street, you know, and I was about a mile in, and that was a long mile where I was, you know, going over a lot of thoughts, which I hadn't really done yeah. in a long time.
Go?
Yeah.
What am I gonna
so
do?
I didn't have I didn't even have a penny in my pocket. Like, that's like not a joke. No, you know, I didn't have a car. I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't know who I was gonna call
no
or how
card.
I would
no credit card.
None of that.
You can't Uber. You can't call an Uber up with your debit card.
So I'm literally walking up the street and those thoughts are coming. Where am I gonna sleep tonight?
Yeah.
You know, where am I even walking to?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I was going to basically try to find the first gas station, borrow a phone and try to call a friend or something, you know, like try to figure it yeah. out. But I was lost, right? Mm-hmm. At 23, walking up the road. And all these thoughts going through my mind and, you know, thinking about all the people that I went to high school with and this and, you know, these people are graduating college. They're doing something with their life, so to speak, right? And I'm 23 living at home. Now I just got kicked out and I'm homeless, right? Mm-hmm. Don't know where the hell I'm going. And so I came to the conclusion in that moment that I was a full-blown loser, which, I mean, that's a difficult thing to admit to yourself. Nobody likes to admit that they're a loser.
Yeah.
You always try to give yourself a little bit of credit. You look back on some of your past wins, you know, whether it was, you know, hey, I used to be strong or I used to be good at baseball. I'm not a loser, yeah. right? Like, I've done some cool shit.
So the first step for you wasn't admitting you're an addict. It was admitting you're a loser.
Straight up. Straight up. I had to admit that I was a full-blown loser.
Yeah. Which actually would be kind of harder, like, admitting that you're a loser over an addict, right? Like, I'm an addict. Now I can start recovery.
You yeah.
Say, no, I'm a fucking loser.
I'm a loser. I'm not doing shit with my life.
Yeah.
I'm 23. I've turned 24 within the next month, and I have nothing to my name.
Yeah.
And it's – and so – That was a long walk. Lots of thoughts going through my mind. And then next thing you know, my mom pulls up in the car about a mile in, and said, "I'll give you one more shot."
It's always the moms, man.
You know, she's yeah.
What would we do without moms?
Yeah, right. So she said she'd give me one more shot. So I hopped in the car, right? After I guess if you're at a weird spot in your life. Go for a mile walk, you know, like
or and, 10. It,
yeah. And if it doesn't work in the first mile, go another yeah. one, you know, just continue to have the, you know, and just think and really evaluate where you're at in your life and determine if you're a loser.
Yeah. Well, remember Jason, he was on our podcast. He did like a 600-mile walk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because
he
had a brain tumor.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I do remember that. Yeah. That's insane. It only took me
at least a mile, yeah, guys. At least a mile. Yeah.
Don't shortcut it. I'm not saying 600, but definitely a mile. And so I hopped in the car, whatever. We ended up going up to the mountains, you know, going camping, basically removing myself from any phones, you know, where I can get a hold of people. You know, I was such a loser where I would take stuff out of my parents' house. I would pawn their stuff, you know, whatever it was to try to get money so that I can get my fix, right? And all those thoughts were coming to my head too as I was walking down that. I'm like, I've literally now I have no all the people that actually really truly care about me, even they are now in the past, right? Like they kicked me out of their house. I got that low to where even my loved ones, I didn't feel loved, right? And so I knew something was wrong and I guess I could blame it on everybody else and they just don't understand.
Which a lot of people do.
I'm a victim. Yeah. You know, they kicked me out. No, I kicked myself out by the actions that I was ultimately taking.
For sure.
And I was making their life more difficult, right?
100%.
So anyways, so I sat up in the mountains, you know, shitting myself, puking, you know, curled up in a ball, going through the whole withdrawals and detox or whatever for a week. And as I was going through that moment, you know, that was a you know, the long walk paired with the withdrawals, I just told myself in that moment that I will never go through anything like this ever again.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I know some people do the one day at a time thing or whatever it is, but you know, when I made a commitment to myself that this is that one of this is not okay. This is not a way to live. And I will never, ever put myself in a situation where I feel this much pain, hurt, that you have to go through when you're going through withdrawals, you know, it's most addicts want to get away from it. They just can't get through the withdrawal phase, right? It's just so painful. So that in that moment, I just made a full blown commitment that, I will never go back to it again. This will not ever be a part of my life because I don't ever want to end up in this moment, shivering, shaking and in this much pain again.
Yeah.
And that was a life altering moment. That changed the trajectory of my life. And you know, after I got clean, went back into sales and started making money again. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
here we are. I remember, because I knew you before all that.
Yeah.
I didn't really know you during, you know, because I know you I had a family.
I was a recluse, too.
I had a family, you know.
Yeah,
was,
when you're a drug addict.
I wasn't going out with the homies and stuff. And
it's not like you're trying to hang out.
Hanging in single crowds.
You know, when you're a drug addict, all you're trying to do is come out of your house to find what you need to find and go back in, you know.
But I'm glad you went through it, man, because I've seen how you've handled a lot of people. Because us owning sales companies, we've seen a lot of guys come in with problems, and you've always identified them quickly.
Yeah.
You've always I remember so many talks you've had with guys. Where, you know, they're just like, oh, you know, I'm just taking it one day at a time, man. I'm staying clean. I'm my month clean. You're like, dude, you need to close that damn door. You know, like quit leaving it an inch open.
Yeah.
Like, oh, one day at a time bullshit. Like, great, you're a recovering addict. You're done with it.
Yeah.
Close the damn door, put it in the past. Like, I know you can do it because I did it.
Nothing positive came from it.
Yeah.
So why would you ever want to go back to it? And why would you want to have to think about it daily,
exactly,
like one day at a time? Now, maybe for the first month or two or three or whatever, maybe that's what they need to do to get through it.
Yeah.
But then eventually a habit should be formed where you now live a new life and that's just a part of your past.
Dude, I'm probably going to offend some people saying this, but I don't really care because I can't really relate to being a drug addict. Like, we all have our addictions as humans, I feel like, right?
Yeah.
But I just read a post this morning from a girl that was like, I hate addiction. I love everybody that's ever dealt with it. And her whole post was, it never goes away. So it is such a struggle. And I'm like, that is such bullshit.
Mm.
Now, granted, she's probably only been clean 5 or 6 months or something,
maybe,
right?
Yeah,
so maybe that's really what she thinks.
That's her truth.
But you...
That's her truth. You
do not have to stay a drug addict forever. It's not a part of you forever. Like,
mm-mm,
I just disagree with that. Like, you really can close that door and put that in a chapter in your life in the past and looking forward be like, I'm not a drug addict anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't have to hold on to the fact that I was... And that I'm always gonna be, but I'm gonna always fight it. Like, you can literally.
To me, that's like kind of like having somewhat of a victim mentality. Like, it has
so
a hold
too.
Over me, and
yeah,
I'm a victim
she
of
literally
being
wrote
an addict
that stuff,
or whatever,
you know?
It is, right?
And I feel for her because she, you know, that, like you said, that is her truth.
Yeah.
But I disagree with it, man. If you really work at it and you close the door like you did. And you really put it behind
create
you.
Create a new identity for yourself.
You know
that's
what I mean?
No longer a part of who
find
you are.
Find a new addiction, man. Like business.
Like working out, exercising. You're now a marathon runner.
Yeah.
Identify as that.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out how to identify as something outside of something negative as an ad. Like identifying
as addiction.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's 100% true.
Yeah.
And again, I do think addicts are very one resourceful people, right? They wake up broke every day and they get their fix and, you know, all that good stuff. And so I do believe that they have some sort of weird go-getter mentality. If they really want something bad enough, one, addicts are normally people that when they do something, they do it 100%.
Yeah.
Because there are people that dabble with drugs,
mm-hmm,
and they can. They can be a weekender, and then they go back to their normal life on Monday or whatever it is. But addicts are, you know, they go 100%. And so even if it's a negative thing, they're going 100% and it eats up their whole life.
Totally.
But that same individual gearing that energy, that resourcefulness to something positive, whether it is exercising, whether it is money, whether it is trying to find their best self through absorbing information, reading. Maybe they identify as somebody that is constantly learning and evolve, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want to identify myself as a victim of something that put me in a bad situation at one point in my life.
Yeah.
I don't think about those years. I only think about the moment up in the hills with me shaking and going through the pain. Why? Because I want to keep that experience close to heart so that I never want to go back. Because that's what I want to identify as being a drug addict as, that pain.
Right.
Not, you know, the high that you feel when you use, right? So it's all how you, what you tie it to,
right?
That experience or how you identify that. Identify it as pain and hurt.
Yeah.
And so that's not something that I want to go back to. I think people just need to shift their perspective and their way of thinking.
They got to get out of it somehow to really see that, though.
They need to identify it as
something. Because victims have a really hard
time
doing that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
are a victim to their addiction.
You can tell
them.
And they
have to work on
it
daily. But the problem is, like, after a certain, like, dude, I get texts like, happy anniversary. I'm like, for what? They're like, dude, you're like 7 years clean.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Right. Because I'm not even focused on that date. The only reason why I know is because it was like a month before my birthday.
Right.
But to me, I don't wake up like saying, hey, that's my 12-year clean anniversary, whatever. The problem I sometimes think with the clean system is always they're looking for that little reward and recognition for doing something good, right?
Yeah.
Your 1 year, your 2 year, your 3 year. So it's always still a part of your life.
Yeah.
Addiction is always a part of your life because you're constantly talking about it and you're getting these little rewards along the way.
Yeah.
I didn't want to talk about it anymore. I didn't care to get... recognized for something negative that I had did in the past. Really? Why am I celebrating being clean for 2, 3, 4, 5 years when I should have never been dirty?
Right.
I made a bad choice. And so that's how I look at it. And I'm not saying I'm right. I don't have it all figured out, but I'm just saying I'm just giving my perspective.
Well, and I've seen your experience, and that's why I know it's going to piss people off by saying, like, dude, you're not an addict forever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because I've seen you do it. You know what I mean? So I'm like,
but when I went to alcohol, I went hard on alcohol. Yeah. I after being a drug addict, I went to alcohol and was blacking out 4 or 5 times a week.
Yeah.
So I go 100% with everything I do, but it started making me realize, like, I better be careful about the choices that I make, because if I drink a lot, I'm blacking out constantly. Yeah. Like, I just don't know how to regulate myself because I go too hard at too many things, whether it's working out in some case. Right. I like the harder workouts, right? Yeah. I like to push myself and push the limits, whether it's good or bad. The problem is you just need to start doing more positive stuff if you're that type of person rather than bad stuff. It's easy to connect the dots there.
It is. That's
so
cool.
That was definitely a life altering moment for me that got me back into sales, got me making money. And, you know, here we are today as partners and owning businesses and talking on a podcast. You know? So.
Yeah, dude. It's awesome, man. I've seen you help a lot of people, dude, because of that experience. So
yeah,
it's good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't regret going through it, you know, because here we are, right? Yeah, so, exactly. And I feel like that somebody, they can try to play this weird card of addiction, and you know, and I can say, cool, so have I.
Yeah.
You know, but you can't play that card with me. Yeah. You might be able to play it with your mom or dad or uncle or brother or sister that don't know, but I know.
Yeah.
I know that you just have to be at such a low point. You just haven't hit rock bottom yet in order to want to make a change.
Yeah.
You're still getting by. And that's the whole point of this podcast. The fact is, getting by is a very, very scary place.
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as you are getting by and you're not fully at rock bottom, you're going to continue to go down that same path. And it's a path of mediocrity. It's a path of nothingness.
Yeah.
It's a path of basically depression, because you're going to... it has to be a normal thought on a day-to-day basis. Like, is this really what life is about?
Mm-hmm.
Again, getting by is the scariest. I would rather be at a rock bottom place, because at least that is a place of self-evaluation.
Yeah.
It's a place that could put you in a situation where you can change your life. Until the day you say that this is not okay, when you pull up to your house and you look at your house, if you say this is not okay and you start looking around at your surroundings and say, I shouldn't be living like this. This is not okay. At that moment, you will start making different decisions. As long as you're getting by and you're not really analyzing your situation, you're not looking, you know, deep into the way that you live or the income that you generate or the people that you surround yourself with.
Right.
Then you're just going to continue to get by.
Right.
You need to analyze the people you surround yourself with and say, this is not okay. This is not the group I want to be around.
Yeah.
They're not who I want to be like.
Yeah.
The home you live in, this is not okay. The car you drive, the life you live, whatever it is, until you find the moment where you say this is not okay, you're going to continue to live on the exact way that you've always lived. And that's very scary.
100%, dude. I'm saying 100% a lot.
1,000%, dude. I'm going to trump
Nally, dude. He rubbed off on me.
He did.
He says that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. No, that's good, dude. That's good. Shit.
So I'm hoping a lot of people hit a low point during this, not necessarily in hopes of watching them struggle forever.
Yeah.
It's in hopes that they hit such a low spot that they say that this is not okay. They self-evaluate and they start altering their choices, and their choices ultimately start altering the way they live their life. And it's just kind of the domino effect.
Yeah,
then 1 year, 2 years, 5 years go by, and you're in a completely different situation than what you were.
Yeah.
Right.
And everybody has different areas of their life where they're at these low points.
Yeah.
Everyone's rock bottom is different as well.
Exactly.
Man. Like,
true.
You know, I was getting by, making good money and doing all that shit. But I do that. Like I said earlier, I was in a horrible marriage.
Yeah.
It wasn't all her fault. It was my fault too.
Yeah.
And, And dude, I sat there for years, man. I sat there for years. I treated her horribly. She treated me horribly. That wasn't what was great, best for our kids. I had two with her at this point.
That was not okay.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, dude, but that's what pushed me into actually getting personal development. You know what I mean? Like
hitting a low point.
Dude, yeah. I finally got to a point where I was like, I can't continue being treated like this or treating her like this.
Yeah.
You know, and it's led me to personal development, improvements in business, a wife that I adore now because of the work I was able to do on myself and attract that. But that's not the second story. That's still actually part of the first story. But the second story is I mean, dude, I want to go back to the side hustle thing because I am so glad I had a side hustle going with Jeremy on that Forex thing.
Yep.
Even though I probably wouldn't have gotten fired had I not had the side hustle, because that was the whole reason I got fired.
Yeah.
But, dude, I am so glad that I got fired, but I had that side hustle to go all in on, kind of like we talked about a minute ago. And, that was probably another huge life-altering moment, man, because, like, I always wanted to be a business owner. I was just scared of it.
Of course.
Right? And so
– you got forced into it.
Having that side hustle, though, like, I can have this side hustle. I can come home, make calls at night with Jer. We can figure this shit out. Like, it was fun. Like, dude, I'd come home after working 10 hours a day and work another 3-4 hours with Jeremy, and it was
exciting,
cool.
New,
it was
different.
Exciting,
you're
new.
You're building something. Yeah.
It wasn't having a side hustle that was life-altering. It was getting fired and being like, oh, my God, I'm going from making 12 grand a month.
Yeah.
To now zero because this thing doesn't even bring in positive cash flow. Mm. Luckily, I had a little bit of savings, not a ton. I had a little bit, and I was using it to get things off the ground.
Yeah.
But, dude, getting fired was a huge moment to kind of channel me to being a full-time business owner. And just the whole mental part of it, man. Just, you know, like I have to make this work. For my family, my loved ones, for me, for Jeremy, for his family, for his loved ones.
But in that moment, it was probably a weird drive home.
Oh, dude, I cried.
Okay. So that was the low. Yeah. This is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
This
dude, I loved those guys I worked with.
Yeah.
I felt like I let that company down that I loved working for. It was weird. Like, I felt guilty for having a side hustle because that was the reason they fired me, which is all bullshit.
Yeah.
But I mean, dude, I'm glad. So glad. And, dude, when he fired me, he was like, you know, if you're not here 100%, you're not here at all.
Yeah.
I don't like that you have anything on the side. I know it's not competing. I don't care. You're not here 100%. You're not here at all. I'm kicking you off the fence. Those were his words.
Yeah.
And then he said, you'll probably thank me one day. And I was just like,
thanks, Ted.
Damn. You know, I've had a lot of moments where I look back like, damn, he was right, dude. Because I did learn a lot from him, too. But man, I'll tell you, dude, like, that was a really hard moment to come home, and I was still married to my first wife at this time, and just be like, I don't know how we're going to pay all these bills. Like, we've only got a few months of savings.
You had that big, nice house, so now you've got no income. Did you have your truck, your diesel, your Chevy?
No. I had a car at that time, I had a Lexus.
Well, you still had, what, 4 or 5 grand a month probably just in bills in general, car payments, house, utilities, food,
kids.
Yeah, exactly.
They're in activities, everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, you know, and so, you know, I did. I felt like a big piece of shit. Like, I'd only been fired one other time in my life, and it was when I was in high school. I showed up 5 minutes late for a job. I overslept. And I'm actually glad for that moment, too, because this old timer, Kenny Tall, you know, he's passed away now. Dude worked on trailers in trailer parks as a handyman, and he needed a little sidekick to hand him tools and help make cuts and all that shit, and I just needed a job in high school it was a good moment, man. I show up 5 minutes late, like 5 days into working for him. He said, hey, get off my job, you're fired. And I was like, what do you mean, man? I sped over here. He's like, I don't care what your reasons were, we start at this time, you're not here, you're not reliable, you're done. He came down off a ladder, hand wrote me a check, and sent me. And I felt like a piece of shit that day.
Yeah.
So I never wanted to be fired again, bro. Like, I had a goal to never be fired again.
Yeah.
So when I got fired from, you know, Ted, I was just like, oh, dude, I felt like a piece of shit. Like, you know, but I was so glad I had that side hustle. It forced me to go all in on it. And I did have that realization in that moment after a couple of days of feeling sorry for myself for being a bum and getting fired.
You were the victim for a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, okay. Well, I don't want to be controlled by somebody else for the rest of my life. I want to be able to control my outcome. I want to be able to control my destiny, and that is being a business owner. And so, you know, dude, that was a huge moment. So,
and here we are.
Yeah, here we are.
Recording a podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I again, the things that we're talking about and the stories that we're sharing, maybe not the middle school working out one, but let us hear.
It does.
It put us, again, there's a huge ripple effect. And I just think that, I know that there's a lot of people going through a lot right now. You know, whether it's the fact that you don't have income coming in, yeah. whether it's the fact that you got laid off in general, where you there's nothing to go back to.
Yeah.
Some people have something to go back to, which I think is scary.
And I'm not saying you should just go start a business right now.
No.
You know what I mean? Because
it is
hard.
Yeah.
But I think people should have side hustles or skill sets aside from their jobs. And, dude, if they don't have the money to put in or some savings to go all in on a business right now, they should have a job. Like, go get another one. Get two. You know, but peel some of that money off to put into your thing over here, that your other skill sets where you can be your own boss and all that as well, man. Because, I mean, if you eventually one day want to be in control of you, not controlled by a company and all that shit, like,
getting
you got to have something. You
got to
have some skill sets.
Again, that's the issue is I honestly think getting by is the scariest, I don't know what to call it, like level or – because sometimes you hear the stories of homeless people end up coming out of homelessness and ended up becoming successful or whatever it is, right? But the reality is I would potentially still be a drug addict because I was getting by every day. I would do enough to get by until the moment where I had nothing.
And dude, we've even gone there in business too. I remember when business started crumbling a little bit and I took that job selling solar.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I did because I had a reawakening of like, dude – the business isn't crumbling. I'm crumbling. If I was working this hard at home, the business wouldn't be crumbling, right? And so even in business, you can get there. You're going to have those moments as well. And so even when you get your business to a point of where you're like, oh, it's getting by, it's going great, that you're instantly going to start going back down. Like, you can't get comfortable at that.
They say satisfaction.
Getting by.
Exactly.
Point.
Satisfaction is the death of desire. Mm-hmm. And when you're getting by, you're just satisfied.
Yeah.
You're not trying to reach to the next level because you don't feel like that, again, you're missing out on anything. You have your home, your car, your this. You're just kind of, again, going through life on autopilot.
Yeah.
I just think a lot of people have far more potential than what they're actually living up to. And I hope that this whole virus thing puts people in a situation where they actually realize that and they hit the low point that needs to be hit, whether it's crying on your way home from getting fired that ultimately changed your life, whether it's, you know, shivering or shaking up in the mountains then in a very rock bottom place that changed my life. The theme here is out of negative, positive can come out, right? Like, in most cases, you have to hit a very, very, very negative situation in order for something positive to come out, right?
You got to let the positive come out of it, right? By actually making a choice, by actually like
evaluating,
creating some self-awareness.
Evaluating.
By, you know what I mean?
Because you took a few days and you evaluated.
Accountability.
Exactly.
Right? Like
exactly.
You start taking some accountability for where you're at, boom, some positive things can now start coming in.
Well, I hope it was a good one.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly think that there will be a group of individuals that will come out of this and in 5 or 10 years, they'll look back and this whole situation was probably going to be the best thing that ever happened to them because it forced them to reroute and do something a little bit different.
It's
right.
True. Yeah. I hope so too, man. I mean, we had to let an employee go, you know, this week. And it's like, you know what? I hope. And it wasn't because of Corona or anything like that, but I hope that they can take some accountability and in 3, 4, 5 years from now, they're like, dude, I'm so glad that I hit that rock bottom point, you know, so that I could shift gears, you know? That's kind of what this is all about, right?
Yeah.
So you got
to
review.
I'm trying to find a review here. Being in a collision industry, this podcast has gave me a different outlook on what I wanted for my future. I've always wanted to own and manage my own body shop, but I've always had an excuse or wasn't ready. Needless to say, now I'm more driven than ever. Thank y'all for all the content y'all spit out. Deep in the heart of Texas. You know they're from Texas when they're saying y'all multiple times. So this is from DC4, 1985. So again, this individual did what we were talking about. He got to the point where he was getting by and he was comfortable, and then he created excuses not to expand or go to the next level.
Yeah.
The getting by situation, he just was stuck there. He was satisfied, which satisfaction is the death of desires, we just barely said. So I think what Ed always says is like a blissful dissatisfaction, right? Always be dissatisfied with your current situation, but still also somehow in a state of bliss. It's kind of a weird thing to juggle, but you know, that's obviously something that we're trying to figure out ourselves, right?
Yeah, man. Like we're always trying to level up, or where can we improve? And we know, you know, we still fail in areas and we still have to start over in areas. I'm just like anybody else, but dude, like I've had some messages come over on my personal Instagram lately, dude. And I'm just like, dude, it means so much to get reviews like that or have people reach out and be like, dude, you guys helped me this and that. And it's like, nah, man, you did it. But I'm so glad that we're able to put a voice out there where people are like, damn, these guys have been through some shit and built some shit. Yeah. And, you know, like we got a long way to go, but I'm glad that some people are making some changes. And it's, you know, some of the advice we give is actually working for them. So
no, it's awesome.
So thank you for that review. Yeah. What was his name? DC something?
DC, 1985. DC. L4 1985.
Well, you're badass, bro, and your body shop's gonna kill it.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Exactly. So just hire Easier Accounting when all that the money's coming in. We'll account
don't
for
forget.
It, brother. Yeah, exactly. The shameless plug. I don't know if it's shameless. It's shameful. All right, guys. We wish you well. Hope you guys are doing awesome. And if you're not, evaluate and change the trajectory of your life.
Yep, I like that.
Take care, guys.
Take care.